through a new series, and that is first subject that we are going to study today is the covenant of grace, and next week we will go through the covenant of today we are going to go through covenant of works, and next week covenant of grace. Probably there are some who had not heard the covenant of works. Why it is so important, the covenant of works? It is very important to the gospel itself, to the gospel of Christ. It's so important to the gospel. And you will see this as we go along. The meaning of covenant of works is that eternal life was promised to Adam by works of obedience. By the way, it is only the Reformed churches that teach and emphasize and believe on the covenant of works. And I never heard any other churches that is apart from the Reformed churches that speaks on the covenant of works. Now, the meaning of covenant of works is that the eternal life was promised to Adam by works of obedience. God gave a law to Adam. If you remember, God gave a law to Adam. And this law came in the form of a covenant. It was a law and a covenant. Just like the law that was given to the Israelites in Mount Sinai was also called a covenant. Remember, God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites in Mount Sinai, and that the law was also called a covenant. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. This is talking on the commandments. So the commandments of God is called a covenant. The God gave, also we know that God gave Adam a commandment, and that is also is a form of a covenant. Even if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 1, Deuteronomy 5:1 said, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. So, we can see the law is a form of a covenant. And also, we know that when God gave Adam a law, and that is a form of, that is a covenant. Now, the basic meaning of a covenant is a mutual agreement of two or more parties, more persons, you know, two or more persons. It is to bind oneself by a contract. It is an agreement. When two people get married, they enter into a covenant before God. It is an agreement that they will, you know, agree for the rest of their life. Here, the contracting parties were God and Adam. God is the governor of the earth and the universe. And Adam was a free moral agent who represented all humanity. When God created man in his own image, man was made in the righteousness and in holiness. He was without sin, he was perfect before God. Now turn with me, you know the scripture, Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he, male and female created he them. Now, I'm trying to bring this together so you know, we are talking about covenant of works, and I want to show you in this covenant at the beginning, it is so important for you to understand, even when God created Adam at the beginning, Adam was fully righteous. He was perfect. He was holy. When God said, in the image of Him, He made man, what does it mean by that? When God said, in God's image, He made us. He didn't make animals in God's image, but He made man. What is the difference there? Now, remember, Jesus said, God is spirit. Right? Those who worship, He must worship in spirit and in truth, right? So man has a soul and spirit. God is spirit. Man has a soul and spirit. So man is different than all the other creatures that God made, because man was made in the image of God. We can worship God in truth and in spirit because we are made in the very image of God. So man is capable of having fellowship and communion with God because we are made in the very image of God. It's a communion, it's a fellowship that we can have. It's a looking into a mirror. It's like you see yourself. So we are made in the likeness of God. But not absolutely like God, but even the divine likeness, so we can have fellowship and communion. That's the meaning of image. Okay? It's so important. So when God made Adam, Adam was made also in the moral image of God. So there was an original in the moral image of God. What do you find? Righteousness, right? Holiness, perfectness. And Adam had that original righteousness and perfectness and holiness. Alright? So if you see this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4:24, talking about the person who is being regenerated, okay? Once you are regenerated, you will see in verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the new man, okay, that's what Adam had at the beginning. Now God gave Adam a law. So as I said, this law came as a form of a covenant, when God entered into a covenant with Adam. And in this covenant, there is a promise, and there is a condition, and there is a penalty if you break that punish. And we are going to see all these three. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, did Adam have any option here? No, he didn't. He didn't have any option that he should agree to this covenant or not. Since there was no alternative, but only obedience was required. Because why? He is God, the Creator. We are His created beings. So this was not like a covenant that a man makes with another man among men. But this was a covenant of God with man rather than a covenant of man with God. Now, what is the promise? The promise was based upon Adam's obedience. If Adam obeyed, there was eternal life for him. Forever. If he disobeyed, there was a penalty. That's the death. That's death. So there's a probation period here for Adam. In this probation period, he was perfect, he was righteous, he was without sin. And God gave the law to Adam, eternal life. That means he can live forever and ever. Was promised upon works of obedience, works was required to eternal life. Now, if you remember, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there has been a law given which could have been given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. So there's by the law, there's righteousness, life. Remember there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, please. 19 verse 16. Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And here's a man who comes and says, "What do I have to do to have eternal life?" Well, according to the covenant of works, what? Obedience, right? Good works. You got to obey. What did Jesus say? He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Covenant of works. Then he went on to say, the Ten Commandments. He asked, which ones? You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear witnesses. So, he goes on to say that. So, obedience is required for eternal life. Now, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said, "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." So, man who does them, they will live by them. So, the law is given, and when the law is given, you got to live by the law. God said, "The day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die." Now, there is no transgression. If there is no transgression, there is no punishment. So, the law that was given to Adam is also called, it is a covenant. If you turn with me to Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. "But like men, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with men." Now, some of your Bibles might say with a little thing there, the word "men" says here, "all like Adam." You see that at the bottom of your Bible? So like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. So Adam transgressed the covenant. So the Israelites transgressed the covenant. So the law that God gave to Adam is a covenant. And we saw that in Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy. Also, the law is also called a covenant. Now, what is the condition? We saw the promise. The condition is this. God gave the law to Adam, and God required perfect obedience. Perfect obedience. Now, we know in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 26, you don't have to turn to me, let me read for you. "Cursed," this is Deuteronomy 27, 26, "cursed be he that confirmed not all the words of the law to them." So, if somebody is not going to obey all the commandments, that person is cursed by God. So, God requires perfect obedience. Alright? When He gives a law, it is perfect obedience. With Adam, it's the same thing. Now, remember, this was a legal covenant. Not just a covenant, it's a legal covenant. Because it demanded perfect obedience. Why is it a legal covenant? Because there was a law involved here. Because it demanded perfect obedience to the law. So it became a legal covenant. The word transgress, we have heard this word many times, the word transgress, what does it really mean? It comes from the Latin word, our English word transgress comes from the Latin word transgredire. The word trans means across or over. The word gredire means to pass. So it really means, the word transgress really means to overpass or to trespass. You know, we see that word trespass. And it means to break into, you know, breaking something, violating something. That is, you know, there's a law, you violated somebody's property, trespassing, going across, or to offend somebody. So here the transgression is upon the divine law of God, can bring destruction and displeasure of God. Here we see Adam was in a probationary period. During this probationary period, he was going to be tested to see if he was willing to obey God or not. Now, what is the penalty? The penalty of breaking the covenant, we are going to see this very clearly next week when we go through the covenant of grace. We are going to see amazingly, it's going to be even more enlightened. The penalty is breaking the covenant is death. Is death. Because God says, for in the day that thou eatest, you shall surely die. The result of transgression is an evil act against God Almighty. It requires punishment. Death. Why? God is holy. He is righteous, he is a righteous judge, and he will not compromise or wink at sin. Now the sanction of the law and covenant was made with Adam, as he said, in the day that thou eat of it, you shall surely die, which includes, when he said, you shall surely die, that death can be described in three ways. One is that he's going to have a physical death. Means, physical death means what? You're going to separate your soul and your body. Right? That's a physical death. You remember Genesis chapter 3 verse 19. It says here, as soon as he ate of the fruit, Genesis 3:19, God said to Adam, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. That's death. So there's a separation of the body, of your soul and the body. Your body will turn into dust. As soon as Adam sinned against God, he became a mortal person. He was made immortal, but he became a mortal person. He was immediately subjected to sickness, to diseases, to miseries, and all kinds of problems and difficulties, and eventually, for age, he aged, you know, and eventually death. The second, when God says, you shall surely die, it means physical death. The second one is spiritual death. Spiritual death is, this is the moral death. The communion, the fellowship that God had with Adam was broken. Can you remember? He was made in the very image of God. That image was broken. He was separated. His fellowship was separated by God. Remember, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, our sins have separated from God. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter, let me see, Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, this is, when a person is regenerated, born again, what happened? That image that was broken again is going to be renewed again. Okay, that's what Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge. Now the Adam was righteous, he was knowledgeable, perfect knowledge. Now the person who is born again is renewed in knowledge according to what? To the image of him who created him. that image that was broken back again, now being restored back again. When the image is restored, what happens? There's fellowship. Isn't that what we taught? When God created man in his own image, there's fellowship, communion. So, when Adam ate of that fruit, there was physical death and there was spiritual death. That image was broken. Number three, the word death here means eternal death. It means an eternal separation from God. It means when you're eternally separated from God, you lose His divine presence. There is no presence of God. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Jesus said, these are to the unbelievers. Jesus said, Matthew 25:41, then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Pretty scary scripture. This losing the divine presence of God is to lose eternal life. Eternal death is for, you know, that's what happens. So, when you say death, that's what it means. There are three that is involved. You know the scriptures, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Ezekiel 18 verse 10 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:20. Now, of course, we know that Adam had a happy fellowship with God. This fellowship was holy. It was holy. It was an immortal existence of his soul and his body. But, you know, death separated. As sin came, there was death and it separated that fellowship. So there was miseries of life, there was problems and there were sicknesses. And because of disobedience, he lost the image, and that means he lost the favor with God that he had fellowship. So now, not only that, his heart becomes evil, corrupted, ruined, and there is nothing good in the heart anymore. It is totally corrupt. Now, what I want to show you is that Adam, he represented all humanity, every single person on the human race. Now we know that Adam was made perfect. He was the best. He was perfect without sin. He represented the whole human race, just like, let me give you an example, just like our governor in California. He represents the people of California. You cannot talk California like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, he represents the people of California, right? If the governor does good, hey, it's good for us. Because it's good for us and we do good. It affects everybody. It affects every single individual. But if the governor does bad, you know what I mean? Hey, it hits our pocketbook, right? We really feel it. Because he's our representative. In the same way, Adam was the head of the human race. So all that was said to Adam and promised to Adam, it refers to all, too, all humanity. All the penalty was not only for Adam, but when God said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die, hey, not only Adam died, we all died. So it means to all of us. So when Adam sinned against God, he did not sin as a private individual, but as a public person. Adam was the father of the human race, the fountain of the race. So he represented all of us in the covenant of works. So the penalty was for all of us. We know that. We all go through pain. work, work, work. You know how that's painful and tired and getting sick and hurting our bodies. The next thing is you're getting old and it's not easy. And the problems come. You've got to pay the bills, do that. The children crying, they're getting sick. There are good times, but on the whole, there's a lot of trials and problems and difficulties, hardship, eventually death. In Genesis 3:16, you will see this in Genesis 3:16, when God said to the woman, "Will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." Wow. Who doesn't have sorrow today? Everybody has. "In pain you shall bring forth children." Mothers, you know that. There's a lot of pain. "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Your desire for your husband means woman's desire is to rule over her husband. But no, husband is going to rule over the woman. You desire, but no. And verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, to in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Wow. For the rest of our days, we are going to sweat. Rest of the days, if you want to earn some bread and put food on the table, you better work. Cannot just sit and relax and somebody else to put work. No, you can't do that. And if you want to stay somewhere, you have to pay rent. And nothing is free. That's what God is saying. You've got to earn it. We all know that, don't we? So we don't need much explanation. But turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 12 here. What I'm trying to say, that Adam is ahead of the human race. Romans 5, 12. Chapter 5, 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin," talking about Adam, right, "entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men," because Adam sinned? No, because who sinned? All sin. See, Adam represented the entire humanity. So when God said, "Thou shalt not eat of it," it's not only to Adam, but to all of us. But the best person was who? Adam. He was perfect. So, Adam, he sinned, all sinned, and death came to all. Because we all come from Adam, right? Yes. There's another theory there. We all come from Adam. You know, we were in Adam, each one of us. So, Adam acted as the entire human race. When men stood their probation in him, we also were in probation in Adam. Okay? So when Adam fell, we fell with him. Now, of course, when a person is born as an infant to this world, just like the babies there, they look very innocent. Right? Everybody says, "Oh, how cute the baby is, let me carry and hug," and so, and they smile sometimes, and you know, they look really innocent and cute and perfect. But wait till they can walk and talk. Wait till they can grow a little bit, you know, you will see the real baby that comes with sinful nature. Cannot do anything when they are little. That sinful nature cannot express itself. You have to just wait when it can talk, when she can talk. When they are really 16, 17 years old, they are at full strength, right? They got all the strength and the stamina. That's the time they will really express that sinful nature. Of course, when you get older, that flesh wears down. Now, so it says here that we all come into this world under condemnation. By nature, we are all children of wrath. You know, when a baby is born, we are all under condemnation. We are all under the wrath of God. We are children of wrath. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, very clearly says that. Ephesians 2, 3. Whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But there's another doctrine that teaches. It came from a person by the name of Pelagian, where the church today has, you know, has embraced Pelagian's doctrine. And also there are some people also say, you know, there are other doctrine, the Armenian doctrine belief, when God told Adam, when he eats of this fruit, you shall surely die, but it means not really, not dead, he became sick like, you know, but still he has life in him, that he can still look for God, that he can still have fellowship with God, you know, still can have that fellowship with God, and look for God, and thirst for God, and he's not totally corrupt. That's what the other theory. So there's still some goodness and some righteousness in him. This is not true according to Scripture, as we studied. This is very dangerous theology, because in this theology, you have works still. It has works for salvation. Because there's some goodness in you, you can work. But men are still... Are we still under the covenant of works? Yes. Not the Christian I'm talking, but the humanity is still under the covenant of works. Because Adam represented all humanity. When Adam fell, although all fell from Adam, the covenant still exists. Remember Jesus told the man who wants to have eternal life, obey all the commandments, Jesus said. And also God, when God is going to judge at the end, He's going to look at works. Yeah. He's going to look at the works. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. That's how God is going to judge, according to their works. But we know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean, and all our righteous things are like a filthy rag. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag. So the Bible says our works are not good. Now, I want to show you how Jesus Christ, He was also a head. He also, just like Adam represented all humanity, Jesus represented His people to fulfill the covenant of works. Jesus fulfilled the covenant of works. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we see the scripture, Matthew 1:21. To bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, his people from their sins. It's talking to particular group there. It's not talking to all humanity. So Jesus represented his people, just like Adam represented all humanity. Adam was called the first man, and the first Adam, he was from the earth. But Jesus is not of the earth, he is of heaven. So there's a distinction from Christ, also called the second Adam. Christ is also called the last Adam or the second Adam. Both were heads, and both heads had some people under them. Okay, in Adam, everybody. In Christ, only a selected group, true believers. So we will see in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Paul said, Romans 5:19, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, right? Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And let's go to verse 17. For if by one man's offense, that is Adam's, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So one man's offense, death came. But one man's obedience came what? Eternal life. And verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even though through one man's righteousness act, the gift came to all men, resulting justification for life. So here, you see, both were heads here of representatives. Now, Christ, he fulfilled the covenant of works on behalf of his people and offers salvation on condition of the law. No. You guys are sleeping or what? A condition of faith. Before it was the law. Now condition of faith. If eternal life can be obtained by works, where is grace? We sang that song, Amazing Grace. We don't deserve it, right? If eternal life can be obtained by works, where would be the gift of God would be? Because gift is a free. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Remember, I said God is going to judge everybody of works, right? At the end. But you know what? When God is going to look at the true Christian, he is not going to see your works or my works. He is going to see Christ's work on the cross. When God is going to see what Christ has done, fulfilling the covenant of works, you become righteous, and you have already been pardoned of your sins through Christ Jesus, what he has done on the cross. Christ fulfilled this commandment. But for the rest of mankind, the covenant of works still exists. God is going to judge everybody on that covenant. Let's pray.